Hey everybody, Mark Ashton here, coming to you from one of my favorite places in the world. This is Sear Campus in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. You'll see some action happening behind me here, and I'm actually on family vacation in July, but you'll be reading this accelerator or watching this accelerator on August 15th. Now, I hope that you've read the reading today. It was a long reading, Ezekiel chapter 1 through 7. And it was we've begun today tackling one of the longest books in the Old Testament, the book of Ezekiel, a very profound prophet. And I think after reading these chapters, we just have to start off by admitting Ezekiel does some freaky stuff. A lot of it is stuff that we don't understand. He is a visual aid machine, and God gives him these human visual aids that he gives to the population to teach them about the things that he wants to hear in graphic ways that they will never, ever forget. So Ezekiel, or Zeke as I like to call him, can be difficult to understand or to relate to these strange images or identify the meaning of its symbols. A lot of it is about what is the immediate future of Ezekiel. Some of it is about the future 80 years ahead of the time of Ezekiel, and some of it is about the new heavens and the new earth that's going to be happening a long, long time from when Ezekiel is there. Now, as the prophecy opens, Ezekiel is 30 years old. He's an exile in Babylon. Now, one of the important historical notes to take note of is that there were three different exiles to Babylon. Ezekiel was likely a part of the second one, maybe the first, but likely a part of the second one. So the biggest exile is yet to come, but the exiles have already started. The biggest one will come in 586. Ezekiel is writing from Babylon, but he'll write about the exile as a future event because the third exile has not yet happened. Well, Ezekiel's 30 years old, and he's already a priest. He's about to become a prophet as well. 30 years old is the age that priests would begin their heaviest lifting, their strongest work, and that was the exact year that Ezekiel got his call. And we read about it today, and there's a few items about that that I'd like to point out. First of all, Ezekiel's call comes in the form of a vision. And like the other prophets who attempt to record similar experiences, he has difficulty finding human words that can describe it that well. One of the great visions that's very memorable is the vision of the wheels within the wheels beside which the four living creatures stood. It's a famous one that you should remember and know well. The wheels are new, but the creatures sound a lot like the same creatures that Isaiah saw at the time of his call into ministry, or the ones that we're going to read about in just a few months in the fourth chapter of Revelation. Now, Ezekiel's unique contribution to the picture is that each creature had four faces, that of a man, a lion, an ox, and an eagle. Well, man is the epitome of all God has created. The lion and the ox were the kings among the wild beasts that roamed on the land, the domestic animals, what Genesis calls the cattle and the living beasts of the earth. And the eagle is the king of the birds of the air. So the four living creatures somehow represent the four key kings among the animals in the universe. Interestingly, these four symbols also match some major themes that you'll find in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew is a lot like the lion of the tribe of Judah. It reminds us that Jesus is the fulfillment of the prophecy all the way from the beginning and the king, like King David, that they have been expecting. Matthew's filled with Jesus' teaching, more teaching than any of the other four Gospels that makes sense of what happened in the Old Testament. The ox reminds us of Mark. Mark is a book that's all about action, and it's about the strength and power of Jesus, symbolized by the ox. Luke parallels with the man. Luke's all about the humanity of Jesus, his care for the poor, and his identification with us as human beings. And then John is a lot like the eagle. As a matter of fact, in symbolism, John is oftentimes represented by an eagle. He emphasizes the divinity of Jesus, that Jesus is the bread from heaven, that he'll return to the Father. He gives us Jesus from a 10,000-foot perspective, much like the eagle flies high up in the air. And many people think that these are a precursor to the four Gospels that are coming up. I'll let you decide that for yourself. Well, there's some interesting parallels not only to the Gospels, but also to Isaiah, to the book of Revelation, especially in Ezekiel's attempt to describe the appearance of heaven and the figure on the throne who is the Lord, surrounded by a brilliant radiance. Did you notice the parallels to other parts of the Bible? one other point of the vision that all the recorders of Scripture are in total agreement on is the subject of what is the proper response of a human being who sees a vision from God. Did you notice what Ezekiel said? He says, "I fell face down." Well, that was a good move by Ezekiel. It's consistent with what Isaiah did, what John did, and what Paul did when they had visions from God. Face down in the presence of the Almighty, that's the appropriate posture when you're in the company of a holy God. Well, I hope today that with all the surreal images in chapter 1, you didn't miss the simple message of chapter 3. It's perhaps the most important part of the reading we did today because it directly applies to you and to me just as much as it did to Ezekiel. It says that Ezekiel was called to be his messenger, his watchman, that you're called to be a watchman and that I'm called to be a watchman as well. The watchman is accountable for delivering the message that's been entrusted to them. If the recipient of the message is not responsive, he doesn't listen, well, then his blood's on his own head and you've done your responsibility. But if you fail to warn a sinner and he dies because of his sin, then they'll be held accountable for their sin and you'll be held accountable. I'll be held accountable for not telling them, for not warning them. We're watchmen with huge responsibility, and Ezekiel 3 reminds us of that. Well, in addition to these things, Ezekiel is about telling people that God's about to do something big. Whenever God does something big, he sends his prophets in advance to warn his people, "Hey, I'm about to do something big." And Ezekiel is no exception. Ezekiel is the warner of what's to come, and he's the interpreter of the things that are happening in that present moment. Sometimes this happens just through Ezekiel's words. Sometimes God does this by making a spectacle out of Ezekiel himself. And you may wonder, why is God doing this? Well, sometimes God allows his servant, be it Ezekiel or someone else, to become a spectacle simply to draw attention to the world in a very dramatic way to the message that he wants to give. I believe God uses such demonstrations to confute the wisdom of this world. It pleases God to use the foolish things of this world to shame the things that are wise in this world, and it also demonstrates that his foolishness is much wiser than our wisdom. Even the cross itself seems like foolishness to the world, but it's completely sensible in God's economy. God asks Ezekiel to do all kinds of weird things, and I want to ask you a challenge today. Has God ever asked you to do something weird? You know, has he ever prompted you in a prayer time that you need to pick up the phone and call somebody or walk on over and talk to a stranger or maybe give a little bit of extra money or bring food to somebody who may not have food? I want to encourage you today, if God tells you to do something weird, do it. And if God's never told you to do something weird, then go to prayer and ask God, "God, what do you want me to do today?" And whatever he tells you to do, do it. Ezekiel did it, and I'll bet God never calls you to do anything as weird as Ezekiel. If Ezekiel could do it, you could do it too. Okay, one more final thought, and that is that today in our readings, we hear about Ezekiel using a term for himself that is the Son of Man. Well, you'll notice that Son of Man is also the term that Jesus used when he talks about himself. I just didn't want you to miss this as it comes in through the book of Ezekiel. Jesus would have found this first in the book of Ezekiel and then later on used in the book of Daniel. And in using this name, he emphasized his own humanity and also his connection with these two great characters. There's one more thing that he emphasizes, but that's coming up in the book of Daniel, and I'll explain that when you're reading through the book of Daniel. In the meantime today, listen to what God tells you to do and then obey him right away.